Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with Lieutenant General Michael Peterson, U.S. Air Force, Chief of Warfighting Integration and Chief Information Officer. Also joining us in our conversation is Dave Hathaway, partner in IBM's Defense Industry Practice. General, as a CIO, a big portion of your job is to put in place the policies, the cultural change strategies, the educational outreach to help staff recognize that they are part of a much broader enterprise. To this end, what are some of the common pushbacks that you encounter as a CIO?
The common pushbacks, it's never really pushback. It's lack of understanding of what the teaming relationship needs to be. I am not going to own the process. I am not going to take over the mission set. But the common pushbacks are, wait a minute, you don't know anything about my business. And I don't claim to. I claim to be very good at listening, helping plot out the processes, helping those owners of the information understand their data, understand why it is important to name and describe that data. And then we can help with what is the art of the possible with, turning on, the vendors that are out there that are ready to come and help. I mean, most recently, our training command came, and their need is absolutely genuine. They do not have a single capability to manage students across the spectrum of training as they flow from recruiting to basic training to those first technical operational schools and then out to the Air Force. We have multiple systems that don't talk to each other that you end up what we call thumping data back into them. The need is exactly correct, but they did not have the expertise to understand how to expose their data, build and publish services and capability. Instead, they were on the path of building another monolithic system that would talk to no one else. So after the good news is we're all friends, but it really took several sessions before everyone understood the right path, and we are going to deliver capability in the same time frame. In fact, better capability for about 10% of the cost. So it's exciting. The pushback is no longer there in the Air Force, and really I will point to our secretary, Michael Wynn, because he didn't point to me and say, Mike, you're going to run data transparency. He said, Mike, you're going to support data transparency, and he looked at all of the other mission owners across the Air Force and said, you're going to own data transparency. So the pushback, it started with, why are you interested? And it's more into, I'm sure glad you're here. And I'm sincere about that.
Sir, with the evolving global threat environment, there are many new challenges associated with it. How do you envision DoD and its information technology efforts evolving in the next 5 years to meet these challenges?
The next 5 years will really be important to us. We talked about one of those areas, the portal, Defense Knowledge Online, Air Force portal, where we have to go to share information. The next 5 years are critical because today it is too hard for someone in the joint arena to access all the information they require to do their mission. So the decisions we make about net-centric enterprise, the decisions we make about data strategy, about protocols, will be very important. But I will tell you that the forums that we work together, and not just Department of Defense, but the entire federal government, OMB does a very good job of sharing across the federal government, and they are very quick to identify a best practice and share that with all of the other federal agencies that are out there. We've done that in a number of areas. But I think the important things will be moving out on a service-oriented architecture, moving out on that technical framework that underpins the portals, deciding what services will be available and who will provide them, how will we build them. Now, that's all on the producing information and getting it their side. The other most important pieces will be on network security. We face some very talented adversaries in our networks. And you will see us continue to build out that some people call it the moat and the castle wall. Of course, we will still continue to do that because you can't even be susceptible to that weekend hacker. So you build a moat and the castle wall to keep out your average hacker. But then you have to go beyond that with really redesigning our network. Where do we allow people to transit our network? How do we handle identity management? What are the tools so we can do business within the government and with our partners outside the government, but not allow people inside our network? So network security is an area that once you've built that castle wall and the moat, now you can get on with the business and put your real talent, your people, against the threats that are a little tougher to uncover, where malware has been installed on a system, where you have a disgruntled insider that is willing to push information out. And those tools that help you understand where data is, where it's moving to, you know, what appropriate behavior is on the network, those tools are emerging in industry as well, and you'll see us implement those as we not only generate the capability to deliver information to everyone that needs it, but lock down any information that shouldn't be exfiltrated or moving outside the network.
So we mentioned transformation earlier, and transformation creates new and competitive areas and competencies that are needed. What qualities will be needed in the warfighter of the future and those IT staff who provide support? And to that end, what steps are being taken to attract and maintain a high-quality technical and professional workforce?
Attracting the high-quality workforce, we've been very good at that. And I know that in the news you see concerns about meeting recruiting goals, but I will tell you the only reason it's difficult is because the standards are so high. I am just thrilled by the airmen and the officers that I see emerging from our basic training in our tech schools. So the challenge is we've got the workforce. There is no question about that. The challenge is two parts. Number one, we will always have to partner with industry. Anywhere we're delivering network services, you are going to find a complete team. You will find people in uniform, you will find government civilians, and you will find industry partners that quite often bring the latest and most up-to-date technology or the individual with the deepest knowledge base. On the training side, that is a challenge. It is to ensure that our schoolhouses, number one, are current and they're teaching the most modern technology. The next challenge, though, is how do we build the forums or the interest amongst our workforce? That is a bigger challenge for us, is to keep the workforce current.
General, you've had just a fascinating and very successful career serving our country. What has been the most rewarding aspect of your Air Force career, and what advice would you give to someone who perhaps is thinking about a career in public service and, let's say, is thinking about the Air Force?
When I was a first lieutenant, I was stationed at second lieutenant and first lieutenant. 3-year point, I was stationed at Offutt Air Force Base, Nebraska, at the time, Headquarters Strategic Air Command. Until that point, I had never thought about making the Air Force a career. And I'd been working some projects with two large companies that they're still in business today, so they're successful. And I was their Air Force counterpart, and we were putting in a system that in 1977 you would describe as a cell phone network for the commander so he could travel around the greater Omaha area and still be in contact with the national command authorities. Well, they came to me and said, well, Mike, what are you going to do when you get out of the Air Force? And that's the first time I was forced to answer the question. And so I sat down and talked with the representatives of the two companies, and they offered me in those years a whole lot more money than I was making in the Air Force. I said, no. I said, I think I'm going to stay in for another assignment. But that was the point when I figured out why. It was the people you got to go to work with every day. It was the trust relationship that it didn't matter who you were. If you were in an Air Force uniform, you could pick up the phone, ask for a bit of information, ask for help, and you would get a response. Later on, the second half of why I think it was so important to stay in the Air Force, and this is true in some elements of the business, of industry, but in the Air Force, your boss wants you to succeed. He doesn't want anyone to fail. I don't care who you are. He wants you to be a success because in the Air Force, we all have a plan. Someday we're going to retire. And you can't go hire your replacement off the street. you've got to develop your replacement. So I have served for, worked for, dozens of bosses. And every single one of them wanted me to be a success story. Occasionally there was the good feedback, like maybe you wouldn't do it that way again. But most of the time it was open doors, provide really good advice, include me in decisions and conversations so later on I would know how to tackle that same kind of problem. So those two things, great people and bosses that want you to succeed and move ahead in your Air Force career. And I know you don't expect anything else, but I wouldn't trade it for anything. I've had a great time.
That's fantastic, General. Unfortunately, we have reached the end of our time together. I want to thank you for fitting us into your busy schedule. But more importantly, Dave and I would like to thank you for your dedicated service to our country and your leadership in the U.S. Air Force.
Well, Al and Dave, great session here today. So often you want information technology turned into the 30-second soundbite, and that's hard. And so allowing me to go over this in a little more depth, certainly helpful for me and hopefully for your audience out there. But as I said earlier, it's not me. There is a huge team behind me, both here in the Washington, D.C. area as well out across the rest of the Air Force that puts this together. And if you want to dig a little deeper, or if you're out there in industry and you've got that new idea that is going to help us be more effective and more efficient, we do need to hear from you. The easiest way to get hold of us is simply going to www.af.mil.
Thank you very much for your time. This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Lieutenant General Michael Peterson, U.S. Air Force, Chief of Warfighting Integration and Chief Information Officer. My co-host this morning has been Dave Hathaway, partner in IBM's Defense Industry Practice. As you enjoy the rest of your day, please take time to remember the men and women of our armed and civil services abroad who can't hear this morning's show on how we're improving their government, but who deserve our unconditional respect and support. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Albert Morales. Thank you for listening.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to join us every Saturday at 9 a.m. and visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.